Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. Continuing Krishna's words in Chapter 3, Karma Yoga. 10. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation." Comment. Krishna now begins to explain the Vedic Karma Kanda system. Live happily and ultimately, gradually, achieve liberation. How can a follower of the system satisfy his desires? 11. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifice, will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. 12. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Comment. A thief is punished by the state. The thieves who live within this world without repaying the demigods for the amenities they have used are punished by Yamaraj. Followers of the Vedic system, even though they have material desires, are not punished. Rather, they are elevated by their submission to the Vedic system. The Vedic system limits sense enjoyment to that which is attained through Vedic formulas. Despite a follower's selfish desires, his adherence to Vedic injunctions is a step forward, giving up his toward giving up his envy of Krishna and his sense of being independent of him. Arjuna, however, could think, "I don't need yajnas, demigods, and opulent necessities of life. Nor must I perform yajnas to live. I will go to the forest and live by begging. I won't take from the demigods, so I won't be sinful by not offering yajnas to them. Not only won't I be a thief, but I won't take part in this ghastly, sinful warfare." Krishna replies in the next two verses. 13. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. 14. All living bodies subsist on food grains which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Comment. Krishna herein warns Arjuna that even in the forest, all food is nurtured by rain coming from the demigods. Therefore, he cannot avoid his obligation to perform the sacrifices born of his prescribed duty. 15. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Comment. Everyone is dependent on food grains. Grains grow from the earth, but their growth is dependent on rain. Rain comes from the performance of yajnas offered to Indra. The inspiration and direction to perform such yajnas come from the Vedas, because the Vedas describe one's prescribed duties. The followers of the Vedic system, therefore, perform sacrifices to Indra, which result in rain, which produces the grains that we all depend upon. The Vedas come directly from Vishnu's breathing. Thus, the link is established for an attached materialist. Dependence on food ultimately means dependence on Vishnu. the all-pervading transcendence, the personality of Godhead, being absolute, is none different from the act of sacrifice. Gradually, the followers of the Vedas understand that Vishnu is above the demigods because he is the one who empowers the demigods' worship in the sacrificial process. In other words, Indra's power to provide rain is supplied by the personality of Godhead. This understanding gradually blossoms into the realization that Vishnu is the only true object of worship. Krishna ends his description of Karmakanda in the next verse. 16, my dear Arjun, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. Comment. He lives in vain because human life is meant for spiritual elevation, and he has wasted that opportunity. His engaging solely in animalistic endeavors ensures his taking a lower birth. The performance of Karmakanda sacrifices, however, would gradually purify him by redirecting his desires from concentration on the temporal to concentration on the eternal. Here's how a follower of the Vedic system progresses. Instead of trying to enjoy his senses unrestrictedly, a follower of the Vedas surrenders to Vedic authority, which then regulates his actions and engages him in Karmakanda sacrifices. The goal of those sacrifices is to attain prosperity, either in this life or a future life. Desiring abundance, he may perform a sacrifice to give birth to a son, to reap a bountiful harvest, or to overcome a disease. Those are considered low-level sacrifices because their fruits are limited to this life. Gradually, however, by associating with Brahmana priests, he hears about sacrifices that will award him birth on the higher heavenly planets. Simultaneously, as he lives in this world, he inevitably experiences a variety of miseries. Family members die, droughts occur, his riches are plundered. Difficulties must over time arise because that is the nature of the material world. He is pushed to seriously contemplate Swargaloka, heaven. Why be satisfied with wealth, a son, or health in this life? I can go to Swarga, drink somaras, dance with beautiful women, and wander blissfully through the Nandakanana gardens. Why live for 100 years when I can live for thousands? On that note, we shall end today because it's a relatively long comment. And Krishna willing, we shall continue very soon. Hare Krishna.